Welcome to Breast Cancer Update, an audio review journal for oncology nurses. This is medical oncologist Dr. Neil Love. For many years now, our education group in Miami has been conducting national surveys of medical oncologists to determine how treatment decisions are being made in clinical practice. For this issue of our series, we review our most recent study, this time of 150 randomly selected U.S.-based medical oncologists and 51 U.S.-based clinical investigators specializing in breast cancer. These physicians were presented with dozens of case scenarios and related survey questions about management of breast cancer in the adjuvant and metastatic settings. For our program, I interviewed two clinical investigators, Dr. Robert Carlson and Dr. Cliff Huddis, who assisted us in designing this study. Our goal was to review some of the key findings from the survey, which can also be accessed at patternsofcare.com. To begin, Dr. Carlson discussed our findings in management of metastatic disease, beginning with endocrine therapy, and one of the most surprising and really disturbing findings of the study, namely that about a quarter of the researchers and more than a third of the docs in practice stated that when they use an LHRH agonist in a premenopausal woman to induce ovarian suppression, they choose depots that are given every 3 months as opposed to the monthly formulation as used by the rest of the physicians as per FDA approval. This strategy, of course, is also used to treat men for prostate cancer, and there a Q3-month formulation is often used. However, Dr. Carlson began by commenting on why monthly administration of these agents in women is more prudent.
The data is pretty clear that when we utilize the LHRH agonists on an every 3 monthly basis, that there is breakthrough estrogen production by the ovary. The data is very convincing that monthly LHRH agonist treatment does adequately and continually suppress estrogen production. But the every 3 monthly formulations don't do that. They suppress ovarian function well for a month or two, but then there is a breakthrough. This is once again one of those situations where the ovary is stronger than the testicle. In the treatment of prostate cancer, the 3 monthly injections do appear to adequately suppress androgen production in the testicle, but not estrogen production in the ovary.
And I guess where this gets particularly important is if the patient is also being treated with an aromatase inhibitor. This is a strategy. I'd like you to update us on your work looking at this of doing ovarian suppression and aromatase inhibitor. But if you're not going to adequately suppress the ovaries, that's going to be a problem.
That's going to be a major problem. The target for the aromatase inhibitors may actually be the intratumoral aromatase enzyme, and so it may not be fully necessary to suppress estrogen production in the ovary. But until we know that better, the target that we can measure easily is circulating estrogen. And if we use an aromatase inhibitor in a premenopausal woman with functioning ovaries, we're simply not going to adequately suppress estrogen production. So I do agree that if you're going to use an aromatase inhibitor in a woman who is functionally premenopausal, you've got to be certain to adequately suppress ovarian function.